Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Power Agent Spotlight, a special edition of the Power Is Now online radio. My name is Eric Lawrence Frazier. Thank you for joining us today online and on the telephone. It's another beautiful day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is also a great day to talk with Ivory Summers, real estate agent extraordinaire. I'm excited about this interview and the great things we're going to learn from Ivory Summers. Today's show is being sponsored by Prime Lending, a Plains Capital company. Well, we're just a few minutes away from starting this interview. Please tell your friends that if they want to know how this very successful agent is making it happen, they should join the Power Is Now online or by telephone right now. For those of you who are new to the Power Is Now online radio, the name and slogan, The Power Is Now, suggests that we maximize our potential for success in business and life when we act on information and opportunities now. The present is our future because the future is only a reflection of past decisions to act now. And so what that means is that we are at our best and we maximize our success when we act now. That's our slogan and theme of The Power Is Now. Power Is Now Online Radio is an online radio network from which a series of teleconferences are created to empower, inspire, and educate consumers and real estate professionals about changes in the world of real estate, banking, finance, marketing, economics, government, and anything else that can give real estate professionals and consumers the tools they need to be successful. For questions or comments about The Power Is Now, please email eric.frazier@thepowerisnow.com or contact me by telephone at 800-401-8994, extension 703. I appreciate the feedback and your suggested topics. And if you're listening to the show for the first time, please go to our website, thepowerisnow.com, like on us on Facebook, and become a member of The Power Is Now Network for free. Follow us on Twitter and connect with me on LinkedIn as well. Well, on the Power Is Now website and also on Blog Talk Radio, you can listen to past shows and take advantage of special discounts to products and services that can help you grow your business. There is value in membership, and membership is free. Over 25,000 agents are downloading shows on the Power Is Now every single month. So far in December, we have exceeded 50,000 downloads in a podcast to past shows here on the Power Is Now Blog Talk Radio and our Power Is Now website. Well, folks, I'm excited. I hope you are, too, to hear from Ivory Summers. We're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we'll be hearing from Miss Ivory Summers. We'll be right back. Hello, everybody. This is Eric Lawrence Frazier, host and executive producer of The Power Is Now online radio. Thank you for listening online and by telephone today to our program. In addition to being the host and executive producer of this show, I am also a mortgage banking professional, a production manager for Prime Lending, federal NMLS number 461807. I specialize in purchase transactions of all types. If you are a first-time homebuyer or investor, I can help you. If you need an FHA, VA, or a conventional loan, or any of the three types of loans in connection with a down payment assistance program, I can help you. It doesn't matter, folks. I love working on purchase transactions. The more complicated they are, the more excited I get. If your client is not sure if they're ready to buy, or if they want to know what they need to do to get ready to buy, have them contact me if you are a real estate professional. Of course, if you are a buyer, a consumer, and you're looking to buy a home, please call me directly. I will be happy to give you great advice and instruction for free. It's what I do, and I love what I do. consider me on your next transaction because I am very serious, a highly educated mortgage banking professional with 31 years of frontline experience, folks. I have not been sitting in an ivory tower, but on the front line, working in the field, looking at transactions and solving every problem with loans that can develop on any transaction. If you are a buyer, thank you for listening to the Power Is Now Online Radio. If you need a trusted and experienced advisor, pick up the phone and call me or email me. My information is on thepowerisnow.com and thedoitnowteam.com. On thedoitnowteam.com, you can apply online to obtain a pre-approval for a home loan. And if you're not able to apply online, your application can be taken over the phone. And we are able to lend in most states, not all 50 states, but just about. If you need a real estate agent, please call me. Let me, as your trusted advisor, recommend someone that I know and have checked out and will endorse. I will make sure you are served properly, and I want to hear from you if they are not exceeding your expectations. Finally, folks, if you are a real estate professional, thank you also for listening to The Power Is Now. If every transaction is important to you and your reputation is important to you, then it is imperative that you put your transaction in the capable hands of an experienced mortgage banking professional. If not me, someone like me. If you have been around long enough, then you already know what I'm saying is true. It's not interest rates or fees or even the company, because they're all the same and very close to each other in both interest rates and costs. Today, it's about experience, education, and professionalism, and I think that he has given me all three. Please contact me here at The Power Is Now at 1-800-261-1634, extension 703, or by email at eric.frazier@thepowerisnow.com. If you need a pre-approval or to consult with me about a transaction, please email me or call me and put my 31 years of experience to work for you. Prime Lending, a nationwide bank. You can reach me directly at Prime Lending at 800-261-1634, extension 703. Again, my federal NMLS number is 461-807. If you are out of the area, go to primelending.com and locate a mortgage consultant in your area and tell them The Power Is Now sent you, or you can contact me because I can lend in most states. Thank you in advance for contacting me and considering me on your next transaction. Thank you for tuning in each week, every week, on The Power Is Now. Remember, the power is now. We are at our best, and we maximize our success when we act now. Act now and call me. And we're back. Thank you again for joining us today on the Power Is Now Power Agent Spotlight. And today we are featuring Ivory Summers. And to help me in interviewing Ivory, we have some special guests on the line with us today, what we call on the Power Is Now VIP co-hosts. With us is Brianna Frazier, broker and principal with the Frazier Group Realty in Riverside, California. Thank you, Brianna, for being on the call today.
Hi, good afternoon. My pleasure to be on the call, and I'm looking forward to hearing about Ms. Ivory Summers' career journey. As a woman in business, it's great to hear how other women have succeeded in their journey. So very happy to be here.
Well, I'm happy you're here as well, and folks, you may not know this, but Brianna is my second oldest daughter, and it's Brianna Frazier Cannon, by the way. I keep forgetting to mention her new last name. Also with us is Lynetta Cornelius, and with Lynetta Cornelius Real Estate from Northern California. Welcome, Lynetta, to the Power Agent Spotlight.
Thank you so much, Eric, for having me on this afternoon's call. I am so excited to be on the call to listen to Ivory Summers and what she'll speak on, because it's, it sounds like we've been down the same path, and it'll be really interesting to see here her journey as well.
Well, that's what the Power Agent Spotlight is all about, listening and learning from those who have been there and done that, so to speak. And Ivory Summers is certainly an individual who's been around a while and has
had tremendous success as a real estate agent and real estate professional. Now, before we get started with our interview with Ivory, I want to take a moment to read her bio, and I think this will set the tone for our discussion today. Ivory has lived in Southern California since 1971. She attended and graduated from Cal State Fullerton University College of Business and Law with a Bachelor's of Science in Paralegal Studies. Ivory started her real estate and REO career in 1994 with Montgomery and Associates under the mentorship of Ms. Vivian Montgomery. Ivory and her team members currently handle several major corporate contracts. In addition to being a real estate agent, Ivory also originated loans for Chase and Clarion Mortgage Capital, a nationwide mortgage bank, of which she became a top-producing mortgage broker for more than 7 years, being named one of the five top producers in the organization. She is also a certified home counseling agent and has helped many folks by securing loan modifications with a number of lending and servicing institutions. Since 2007, Ivory has worked as a listing agent for David Murphy Real Estate. Ivory and her dedicated team members have become a preferred industry specialist to some of the largest REO clients and corporations in North America. Ivory has received many awards as a top producer and outstanding facilitator of REO properties from REO boards, institutional lenders, and other industry organizations. She has coordinated the Freddie Mac program, Believing in a Place Called Home, program in Southern California region. Ivory continues to be an essential source for disposal of REO assets in the LA County area with over 17 years of experience. Additionally, Ivory is a supporter of the Los Angeles Mission and their cause to helping the homeless with education, jobs, meals, and a safe place to stay as many people are rehabilitating their lives to achieve great things. Ivory and her dedicated team members continue to strive to become a preferred industry specialist to some of the largest REO clients and corporations in North America. She believes her success is credited to continued education, attending seminars and conferences, staying focused and motivated, and above all, honest and ethical. Thank you, Ivory, for joining us today on the Power Is Now Power Agent Spotlight.
Thank you, Eric. I look forward to speaking with you and Brianna and Lynetta. Thank you for having me.
Well, the pleasure is all mine. I'm very impressed with your background. And actually, in just reading your bio, I've learned something about you that I didn't know before, that you were also a mortgage banker, as I presently am, with Prime Lending. So, Ivory, tell me, what was in your mind? What were you thinking when you started your education at Cal State Fullerton, pursuing a Bachelor's of Science degree in Paralegal Studies? Were you planning on being a lawyer? Did you have in mind, you know, selling real estate at that time in 19, what, just, this was many years ago?
Yes, many, many years ago, yes. No, Eric, my mind was not on real estate. As a matter of fact, I had a running joke about, you know, I never be in real estate. I don't understand how people lived on commission. And here I am 20-some-odd years later, enjoying the best career of my life and enjoying each and every day that I get up to come to work. It's ironic, the things that we say and eventually the things that end up happening in our lives.
Well, I tell you, the Lord moves in mysterious ways. He obviously felt that you would have a greater impact in the world as a real estate professional as opposed to what are you planning on doing when you were in school?
Well, when I first went to college, my whole idea was I was going to be the super paralegal, and I was for many, many years. I worked in downtown Los Angeles in the largest law firm in the nation, and I worked for its premier and primary partners, and I was a computer litigation paralegal, and I have been doing that without formal education for over 10 years when I decided to go back to school. And my partners were gracious enough to help me get through school financially, and that was a blessing. And the whole time that I was going through school, I just knew that this career that I had already embarked on was just going to be greater, and, you know, I was going to be doing more exciting things. I was already living bi-coastal for most of the year, from New York to L.A., and I just thought I was going to have more of the same. And as it turns out, I went to school, graduated with honors, and did very, very well, and only worked in as a paralegal for another year and a half before my real estate career blossomed. You don't know what God has in store for you, but if you're patient, faithful, and willing to wait on Him, He will surpass even your greatest desires. It will blow your mind with God in every sense.
Now, you were bi-coastal, so you were living in New York, and did you grow up in New York? Where are you from originally?
Originally, I was born in Kansas City, Missouri. I'm a Midwest girl, show me state, but raised in San Francisco all my life. It wasn't until, like I said, 1971, I actually came down to Southern Cal with my family, and we started living here, but my life was definitely spent in San Francisco, and if you will, I was just one of those very blessed kids that got to live throughout the United States in different places most of her life.
How is that possible? Were your family in the military, or was he a traveling salesman?
Well, you know what? No, my family was not in the military. I grew up with my aunt and uncle, and I was their only child, and very privileged little girl. And then my uncle was a professor at UC Berkeley. He was professor of science. So him being one of the premier African-Americans back in the 60s, he was invited to do all sorts of speeches throughout the United States for different colleges, you know, in different states. And so we would travel to those states, and sometimes we'd be there for a couple of months. Sometimes it would be there a little longer. Sometimes we'd be there for a week. But there was constant travel in my family, and it was great. For me, as a young girl, there was nothing better or more educational than the geography of the United States and meeting people and learning different things from each state. It was quite exciting.
You know, that's something that I've always wanted to do. I've been overseas to Europe, but I really haven't seen all of the United States, and that's something that I must do. I've got to add that to my bucket list. Because you're right, I can only imagine as a child that was a tremendous education. And then being raised by educators, no wonder you're so smart, Ivory.
Oh, well, thank you. Listen, if you say that out loud to my kids, they'll deny the whole thing that I'm not so smart. They know everything.
Well, that's the case of most kids. You know, they think their parents are so dumb, right? And then when they grow up, they realize how smart we are.
Exactly, yeah. But you're right. I wish that there were more children and parents who could experience the beauty of the United States. There is nothing like America. There is nothing like the land that God put together. It is the most breathtaking, spectacular topography you've ever seen. I mean, it should be on everyone's list to see. It is unbelievable. If you've never seen Vermont or Maine in the fall, and or California in the summertime, and or New York, you know, and Connecticut and so forth in the winter, it's breathtaking. We have the most beautiful country of any right here. And I think, you know, as Americans, we need to take advantage of it.
Well said. I think you keep talking like that, I believe the Department of Tourism is going to contact you. This show is listened to nationwide.
One more job, yes.
So, Ivory, what a great story, what a great background. But I have to ask you, you said you were raised by your uncle and aunt. So if you don't mind me asking, what happened? How is it you were raised by them and not by your natural parents? What is your story?
Well, my story is that I probably have the best family in the world. I really do. At least I think so. My mother was a widow early in her life and had five girls. My aunt was married and unable to bear children. And my mom, who is the best in the world, who's my best friend today, was so generous as to share her child with her youngest sister. And I was that child. And I have been blessed throughout my life to have, you know, two fathers, two mothers, and, you know, a great supportive family who all understand that not only am I, you know, blessed to have, you know, the two mothers, but such a wonderful, wonderfully supportive family that understands the circumstances in which, you know, all of it came to be. It has been what I would call probably the best experience of my life because I have a little bit of both of the sisters and I have the best of them both, and I'm very privileged, and I'm, you know, very honored.
Well, your mother must be very proud of you to see what has become of this child that she lent, I guess, to her sister.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time. It's not a, you know, it's not a big secret or anything, but I refer to it as sister love because, I mean, it is remarkable love for a sister to hand over to another sister a child because she knows that her sister longs for that. It is another thing to promise the sister that as long as they live, that they'll be sharing this child and co-raising, and there will never be any animosity because of it. Well, this truly is what happened in my family. I have been shown unconditional love, and I wish everybody could experience it. Both of my moms are not alive today. My mom, who raised me, my aunt, has passed on. But believe me, my mom and myself, we were there until the very last moment. It's more of a, I say it's a love story between sisters. I just happen to be, you know, a stand-in, if you will.
Well, you were the product of that love, and I can only imagine how painful that must have been to lose your mother. Yet at the same time, how joyous that must have been to know that you had the other mother to be there with you through that time.
Definitely.
I mean, what a great story and what a testimony to the power of family and family love, supporting each other, even to the extent where you're willing to, especially under your circumstances, your mother having been, you know, being widowed and having to raise five kids. I can only imagine what that must have been like, especially during that time where women were not primary earners, and I can only imagine how difficult it must have been for her.
Yes, I too realized that, you know, what a remarkable woman my birth mom was and is to do such an unselfish act and be there to support her sister no matter what, you know, people said or how they said it. They were absolutely close and they believed in each other. They loved each other. And again, here I am, the product. I have probably the most blessed story of anyone that I know, complete unselfish love. And it is something that I'm really proud to carry. It's part of my heritage. So that, you know, my kids understand that there is unconditional love between siblings. It is a very special thing.
Now, you're the oldest or the youngest of the five?
I am in the middle.
you're in the middle. So are you the only one in real estate? Have you employed all your brothers and sisters?
Well, I'm the only one. You know, I have sisters that are very successful in their own right. They're all very, very special. They're all doing their own thing. I have one sister who lives in Washington, D.C. She's the youngest of the five, and she's doing really great there. She's an executive assistant, and she's happy. She's been there for over 14 years in D.C. by herself. We're all fairly independent. I have another sister who's a psychologist, and I have another sister who is a social worker, and then another sister who's an actuarial. So I'm, you know what? As a real estate agent, I might be the one that's, you know, kind of slacking there, you know? They're all very successful.
Now, I don't think you're slacking at all. You know, a lot of people look at real estate as a fallback plan. It is not, especially in my family, is the plan. And I think Brianna would concur with that statement. So you are not slacking. But in fact, you are leading in an industry that for many years women did not dominate, but are dominating now. And you seem to be at the very top with what you're doing in your business. Let's talk about your decision to transition from law, paralegal studies, and in that world to selling real estate. You had mentioned earlier that you thought, how can people live on commission and that kind of thing? And yet here you are today, very engaged in that business. What made you make the move? What were the circumstances to transition from, quote, real job, close quote, and real estate sales?
I had the pleasure of being the goddaughter of Vivian Montgomery. Some people who are listening today may remember this wonderful woman who was an absolute positive storm in real estate. And she was my godmother and 100% my biggest cheerleader, along with her son, Bill Blalock, who was my godbrother. And unfortunately, I had been helping her for many, many years, you know, with paperwork, getting her real estate business together and so forth. And my contribution in helping her was really quite small, you know, paperwork, answering phones, helping her. When I wasn't at work, you know, I'd go over and help her. Very minimal. And she was just generous enough to teach me some things. Well, and that was great, and I had no intentions of going any further than that. But unfortunately, January 25th of 1995, upon planning a luncheon for my godbrother, Bill Blalock, his mother went to get her hair done and to be pretty for the luncheon for her son's birthday, and passed away from a brain aneurysm. You know, of course, everyone devastated, but at that point, we needed to scramble. Well, Bill Blalock and Charles Dawson, both godbrothers, decided we're going to carry on this business, and I agree, we need you to be in this business, as Mom wanted, which was Vivian. That's how I started. Immediately, I started helping them, and, you know, I was being the gopher. I could do everything. You know, I could do the BPOs like the back of my hand. And that was in the day where we typed them up. And we had the three sets of pictures, and we glued the pictures and, you know, sent them off to Freddie and Fanny. And I did all of the grunt work, and the guys were teaching me, you know, the ropes, real estate. I ended up going out and deciding, okay, I'm going to take this test. I went and took the test and passed. And I've been in real estate ever since. And I have to say, Eric, I don't know how many people right now are suffering through this hardship of economic woes that we're going through in real estate. But if they could just hold on, because this has got to be the greatest field ever. I know a lot of my colleagues are saying, you know, I'm getting out of the business, I'm changed, I'm going to do something. Hold on. I can't imagine doing anything else, or even what I was like before this as a paralegal. And I know what my days were like there. This has got to be the greatest freedom and social networking position ever for anyone, outgoing person or even a person who just, you know, who just needs to be busy in their career. This has got to be the greatest career. And so, you know, people right now that are feeling doubts about real estate, just hold on, you know, say your prayers, put them out there. And I guarantee you, you know, in a couple of months, things will change around for us all. I just wanted to put that out there.
Well, I think that's a great word of encouragement. And we're going to be hearing more from you in regard to that as we move further into this discussion. I want to talk about the financial implications of that decision. You experienced a traumatic event with someone that was dear to you passing unexpectedly, and then being asked to help continue the business. Did you go in as an employee or as a partner? And
as, you know, they brought me in as an employee, but, you know, I left as a partner, yes.
Oh, okay. You were brought in as an employee and you left as a partner. So, interesting. And no regrets then, obviously, because I think that's what stops a lot of people is the fear. And then not having the capital to make that transition, you know, appears to be a secure job to real estate.
Again, Eric, all I can say, it was blessed from the beginning. It is funny how, you know, we'll go through life and we wonder why certain things happen. I, too, ask the same question. But here I am almost 20 years later, and I'm saying thank you, God, not for the circumstances in which, you know, I became into real estate, but for just for the discovery of real estate and how it has changed my life. And it's not the monetary change. It has been, for me, an emotional change, a feeling of accomplishment. And every time I walk in my own office and I look at my employees, and it's a high I can't even describe, but if I could bottle it, I would. I'd give it to other people. It's just a matter of, like you said, being in the right place at the right time and being blessed and just enjoying it.
Well, folks, there you have it, the introduction to Ivory Summers. And Ivory, let's end this first segment with telling us what The Powers Now means to you.
I thought about that, and I mean, I don't have this big elaborate answer, but every time I thought about that, it came to me as the experience to explore, to be in the present, you know, to take full advantage of all the opportunities that are being passed through your life on a daily, moment, second basis. This life is moving so quick. So the power is now. That means that, you know what, if it passes before you, take advantage of you. Take advantage of it. If it is presented to you, give a great thought. It is seizing the moment and being in the present. That's what the power is now for me.
Well, that's a great Power Is Now statement, Ivory. And folks, we're going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to hear about Ivory's start as a real estate agent selling real estate about her first transaction. I can only imagine what that was like. I've heard some great stories about first transactions. And then we're going to talk about her experience as an agent broker. She's running the show now, doing big things. We'll dive into tactics and strategies, her team and business operations, production results. We want to hear the numbers. What kind of volume are you doing, Ivory? And then her plans for the future, the opportunity forecast in the Ivory Summers business. And then we'll end the call with some advice from her and words of encouragement. So hang in there with us. We'll be right back right after this commercial break. This is Eric Frazier. I just want to take a minute to tell you about the great things that are happening on The Power Is Now. Did you know that The Power Is Now has programming that takes place every single day? That's right. Every single day, there's a show playing on The Power Is Now. And not just one show, but shows throughout the day. Every single day. There's an 8 o'clock show and a 10 o'clock show. There's a 12 o'clock show, a 3 o'clock and a 5 o'clock show. We even have a 7 o'clock show every single day, folks. You can catch some great information right here on The Power Is Now. Just go to thepowerisnow.com and click under Live Show. You'll see whatever's playing at that time, you'll hear it right there on The Power Is Now. Whatever is playing throughout the day will be on the live show. And if there's a particular show you want to listen to, just go to the past shows or to the Power Agent Spotlight or the Real Estate Resource or The Power Is Now Breaking News. Folks, The Power Is Now is just jam-packed with great information for real estate professionals and consumers. And I want to encourage you to tune in every day and listen to all the shows. There are over 160 shows that have been recorded on The Power Is Now, all about real estate, empowering real estate agents with information, empowering consumers with information, information that is relevant, information that is current, information that they can use. The Power Is Now. Remember, we are at our best and we maximize our success when we act now. That's what The Power Is Now is all about. And that's why we have this information playing every single day on The Power Is Now radio. Please go to thepowerisnow.com and like on us. In fact, go to LinkedIn and connect with me, Eric Frazier, and The Power Is Now. We're also on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. We're all over the social media and, of course, on Facebook. You can even listen to our podcast on Facebook because we make sure that we notify those of you who are following us on Facebook every week with the upcoming shows. Well, that's it for now. We hope you'll continue to listen to The Power Is Now and tell others about it. Thank you for listening today on The Power Is Now. And we're back. For those of you who are joining us for the first time today, we are talking to Ivory Summers, agent extraordinaire on the Power Agent Spotlight. And I'm excited, folks, about talking to Ivory. Already, I've heard a lot that is just incredible. And I don't know about you, but she certainly has had a very unique upbringing. We were talking during the break, and Lynetta said she almost had her in tears just hearing that story of her childhood. And Ivory, what an incredible story. It's no wonder why you're so successful. And now I get a better glimpse of as to your personality. You're just always so outgoing and so positive. Every time I see you, you're always embracing me. You're just always positive. Wouldn't you say that it was your upbringing that really helped you to have this positive, outgoing outlook?
Yes, Eric, I would say that my upbringing, my family, friend connections that I've had all my life are the reason that I guess you could say positive. Well, you said positive, so positive is a good word. I mean, I just think that I'm really blessed. beyond what anybody could imagine, because, you know, my story could have went any other way. But it had the best intentions, and behind it, I'm grateful to say, because, you know, my parents might have something else to say, but, you know, I did okay as an adult. I didn't get in too much trouble as a kid, although my whole family completely stayed on me. So I'm really blessed to have had the people, influences, love, caring, believers in me growing up. I'm really the blessed one.
Well, I would agree with you that blessed is a far more powerful and dynamic word than positive. Because if you're blessed, you are positive and much more. So I can understand how you feel. So Ivory, let's talk about your experience as an agent. You started working for the Vivian Montgomery Company, Montgomery Associates. Then you left, and did you go work for another agency, or did you start your own? What happened?
Well, you know, I've done a few things after I left Montgomery and Associates. And really, when I left so that I could venture out and learn a little more. I left there and was under the tutelage of a wonderful woman who a lot of people know, who's a trailblazer and a pioneer in real estate, which was Evelyn Reeves at First Security Investment Company. I worked with her for a little over a year and enjoyed my stay there. It was quite positive and extremely educational, and I am still taking lessons from Miss Evie today into my business, into the world of real estate. So that was great. And after I worked there for a little bit, I decided, you know what? I want to try to do loans. I want to know what's going on in real estate. I didn't understand the lending side of real estate, and I wanted to know why some things changed in the middle of my real estate transactions with the loan officers and the clients. And I really wanted to find out, you know, what could I as an agent do to help facilitate that loan better, to get it closed. And so I decided, you know what, I'm going to go to Chase. And that's when Chase started making a visible showing in California. I was used to them in New York and back east. They were huge, and they have always been huge. And so when they came out here, it was a perfect fit for me to go and work for Chase. And I was very blessed to work at Chase for, again, a little over a year and go through their fabulous training and learned so much. And I went there and did very, very well, and unfortunately got a little sick there and had to take some time off and do some regrouping and healing of the body and the mind and the soul and the spirit, because I was suffering from a form of cancer. And so I had to go through that and get rehealed. And once I did that, I decided, you know what, I want to see what I can do more in loans. And so I decided to go to this company called Clarion Mortgage. And that became a perfect fit for me because they had all the support I needed, but I never had to leave home. How great is that? You know, I had a small child, and I didn't really want to leave him at that time. My son and I had suffered a great loss in that his father had passed away from cancer about a year before I myself was diagnosed. His father was diagnosed and, as a result, passed away. So being a loan officer was right on time for me because I needed to be at home and I needed to generate income. And so it fit perfectly. And for the next 7 years, I made a great career that I have and still do cherish. And I've met some really great clients who have been my clients ever since. I've been pretty blessed.
Ivory, I am blown away here. I don't know where to start. You've just laid a number of bombshells, and we have to visit those. This is what the Power Agent Spotlight is all about, spotlighting people who are leaders in our industry who are out there and do a great job. And hearing your story, which is, you know, your testimony, if you will, of the goodness of God. And I know you're a very spiritual person, and what you just shared with me, I'm taken back here to hear that not only did you have cancer and had to deal with that and survive it, but your husband having cancer and having to deal with that and pass away from it, managing it all. I can't imagine, you know, what it took mentally and spiritually to wade through those very turbulent waters. Before you address that for me in a little bit more detail, I want to go back to your experience as an agent, because you made a transition from selling real estate to doing well. And you mentioned that you wonder why the things happen. How is it that things are happening with the loan that are causing your transactions trouble, and you wanted to have a better understanding with that? Tell us first about your experience on your first couple or first one or two transactions. What happened? And was it, in fact, the precursor to you making the move? I mean, was that truly the catalyst to you wanting to leave real estate and go into lending?
My first deal usually has everyone cracking up is my first sale was a home that was on 109th and Lou Dillon, which is in the heart of Watts. And I know some other agents could probably relate to me on this one, but I had probably one of not so most desirable listings in Los Angeles. It was eventful. I mean, we had a fire, we had a break-in, we had a rape. It was a lot, but I was determined to sell this home.
Wait a minute. Did you say on one property you had a fire, a break-in, and a rape?
All in one property, all before it closed. Let me tell you something. Real estate has been the best career for me ever. How do you wake up one morning, get the listing, and then, you know, these things happen to you in the course of a day or you know, a few weeks? Only in real estate. Every day you wake up to something different. Never the same.
This is true. So what happened?
Well, my house was broken with, like I said, fire, all kinds of things happened. But I want to thank Mr. Pinson, and he'll know who he is today, for purchasing that property from me and making me a happy woman with her first deal, a $55,000 sale.
How long did it take you to sell it? And I'm sure you had to go through all the, what, the police were involved, the fire department was involved.
It was a nightmare. I had it on the market literally a little over 45 days, and that was the longest 45 days I've ever spent in my whole life.
Well, 45 days is pretty good when you have
right.
a fire, a rape, and what else? A break-in.
Yeah, well, you know, and you know, it was a sign of the times. At that time, we were dealing with the crack epidemic,
yeah.
and we were dealing with the battery ram and all of that. And so Los Angeles was battleground to vacant homes, and Watts was one of those sectors of the township in which, you know, a lot of activity went on. And I gladly took it on, and it was a blessing. I've learned so much that I've taken throughout my career because of that particular listing, and it has been something that I go back and I tell my employees, you know, how to be careful, what you don't want to do, what you don't want to say. And all of this came off of one deal, and I'm just real grateful to have had that listing, and till today I'm still learning from it. So, you know, it's great. And then that particular deal was cash, so I didn't have the lender issues. But later on in that first year of me being an agent, I was quite fascinated with the loan officers and how much they helped the real estate agents and how much they could do and how they could come out and sit with you at an open house and how they provided every, you know, question that the prospective homeowner had. They provided an answer for it financially and how they could possibly purchase the home that they were in. That was really fascinating to me because I thought, God, you've got to be a whiz. And just to know where that comes from, I've always been a person that could read anything and actually work on it and get something completed. But numbers were always my weakness. They were completely my, I was the worst student in math. I hated math. My God, algebra just seemed like it was such a, you know, it was a crossword puzzle that I couldn't figure out. It was just, you know, terrible. And so when I became, you know, an agent, I remember saying, I'll steer away from those loans. I don't ever want to know. Again, if you want to make God laugh, tell him what you won't do. And of course, you know, it'll come to you, you know. But because of those fears, I guess, in their own right of math, but at the same time, my curiosity about what was going on with my deals, I jumped right in to the mortgage side of real estate. I think today I'm a better agent for it because I understand what it is the lender is trying to do. I now know why the buyer must not go out and charge and do all sorts of things and or change things in the course of their, you know, escrow, that they must be absolutely sure this is the house they want and they're willing to purchase a home most times as is. And, you know, there's just a lot of variables to lending that don't kind of play in with you as an agent. So it's nice to know. It was a great education. It's It's been a great experience, and I carry it every day with me in my everyday real estate chores. It's phenomenal to know more than just one sector of real estate, and I advise anyone who is a broker, agent in the real estate field, you need to know lending. If you have not gotten to know about lending, you need to know about lending. That way you're better capable to explain to your clients what are the phases that they're going through, what will happen, why they need so much money down or why they need reserves at closing and so forth. These are really important questions that the homeowners all want to ask. Think back to yourself as a first-time buyer. It is great as an agent if you can answer these questions accurately and give them an idea of what's to come. It gives them a little more confidence and you a little more surety that your clients will stick with you because they get you and they get what you're trying to do for them. And so it helps.
Now, if you're an agent and you don't want to maybe spend a little time as a loan officer and gain that kind of knowledge and insight, would you say the next best thing would be making sure you're working with a seasoned professional, someone, you know, like me?
Of course. You know, absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't think of being in the real estate field without someone like yourself. Seriously. I mean, Eric, I don't want to be a loan officer because I have my real estate hat on. But if I were to need a professional, yes, I want someone like yourself who's seasoned, understands, you know, how to communicate, because it's really important that the loan officer you choose can talk to your clients and get them on track as well as you can. It's really important that your clients feel confidence in the lender you choose for them or you help them, you know, go towards. You have to have someone who is confident in what they know. It's really important for that deal's success.
No, you're absolutely right. Very few people. Well, actually, you know, I was doing an interview with Bubba Mills about a week ago, and we were talking about some recent numbers from NAR. And first-time homebuyers make up about 37% of the market right now. Cash buyers make up 31%. It's almost equal. So I was going to say that most people need some type of financing to buy a home. So you need an expert lender on your team, but it's incredible the number of cash buyers. I'm predicting that that number will continue to rise in 2013 and may even surpass first-time home buyers because of the amount of money that's just in the marketplace looking for someplace to land.
I'm in this market, and I'm not happy about the investor money that's out there. And the reason why I say that is it gives us a false sense of what's really going on in our home sales and who's really purchasing. We need more home buyers. There were many, many millions of people all over the United States who were priced out prior to 2007. They were absolutely priced out of the market. This opportunity that we have now, albeit that it is not the greatest of economic situations for the United States, is a perfect breeding ground, if you will, for first-time buyers.
Yeah.
We need buyers to buy homes because when buyers buy homes, they fuel our economy completely. They help the freight trains bring over supplies, they being the first-time buyers, employ people at Lowe's and Home Depot and the grocery stores, the gas company and the water company and the light company and the landscapers and the contractors who build. We in the real estate field need more buyers to buy because when more buyers buy, more people are employed. When more people are employed, the economic status of the United States, state by state, starts to rev up. People become unemployed and unemployment numbers go down and people buy homes and they buy goods and they buy carpet and so forth and so on. We need buyers.
No, you're absolutely right. And we are a witness to that about 2004 to about 2007. As people were priced out of the market, we saw the economic engine just really rev up and unemployment reach record lows. And then it just got out of control. And we also know what were some of the factors, you know, with spurring on that appreciation, and that was the type of lending that was going on. But you're right. And when you say buyers, you're talking talking about first-time homebuyers. We need first-time homebuyers, people, owner-occupied buyers, to purchase these homes, to stabilize these neighborhoods, and not create a whole new class of renters. And that's really what's happening.
That is what's happening. And, you know, the thing is, we're not building community.
Right.
Renters come and they go. This is not that they're not important. That's not the case. That everyone is important in this grand scheme of life. But the thing that we need are people who are going to come in, build communities, put their children in schools, visit the local vendors, and create a community and wealth, if you will.
Sure.
We definitely need that. We in California have never had the opportunity since, and I'm going to say late 70s, 80s, to purchase homes in the prices that they are now without the interest rates either being through the roof or the prices of houses being astronomical. We are at a very good place now with pricing, with interest rates, and this is the time. There's never been such a great time as it is now.
It is the perfect storm. Low interest rates, low property values, and the investors are coming on strong. Look out, first-time homebuyers, because they are your competition, not other first-time homebuyers.
Correct.
It is the investors. Yeah.
Yes. Especially, I'm dealing with it here in L.A. quite a bit.
I know you are. And, in fact, someone was sharing with me that most properties listed right now are selling above list price. So we have another appreciation problem occurring, and we don't know if it's real, if it's going to go away and prices will go back the other way, but we're not sure what's going to happen. It's going to be interesting to see what 2013 brings.
Yes.
As far as appreciation is concerned.
So,
Ivory, you went from selling real estate to doing loans, and while you were doing loans, tell us about the cancer that you have to deal with, both with your husband and yourself. I mean, that's just extraordinary to hear a family having to deal with it, and then one passing on.
It was a very different time in my life, of course. Now, it wasn't the greatest, but it wasn't the worst. I did lose my partner and loved one back in 2000, and June of 2000. And in January of 2001, I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer.
Oh,
it's usually pretty aggressive, and I was just, again, blessed that when my doctor caught it, I was literally in the first stages of it. It was just a blessing that I didn't perish, you know, because most people don't recover or come back from that because it's such an aggressive form. And mine was caught in the beginning stages. You're talking about being blessed from the onset. I was extremely blessed. It was a battle that I had to deal with for a little more than a year, almost 2 years, but it was one of the times in my life that I cherish because it is the time in my life where I decided that I will no longer sweat the small stuff. I will live every day as if it's my last day. I know that sounds like a cliche, but it is the way I live. And I would appreciate anything and everything that anyone would do for me in my life. And I'm now almost 13 years into that pledge and blessing from God. And I have to tell you that I am forever grateful for every day. I am forever grateful for my survival. I am forever grateful for my business, my family, and friends. And I just keep moving, keep going. I have this little joke that I tell everyone that God has got to catch me because I'm not going willingly. Not that I don't want to see him, but I got so much to do. So he's going to have to catch me on the run. And it's always with body language that I say that I'm in a runner's position. So he'll have to catch me.
Well, too bad this isn't the Powers Now TV. I'd love to see that.
Those of the people who know me know what I mean when I say it. You know, I'm definitely about to run off, and God has got to catch me because I'm not going to slow down for anything or anyone. I'm moving towards progress. I'm moving towards production, and I'm happier than I've ever been in my life.
Ivory, do we all need to be hit by some traumatic circumstance, cancer or something like that, in order to have the kind of attitude that you possess now? I mean, what you say resonates, I'm sure, with everyone on this call, that we do need to be thankful for life, for all that is good in our life, for what other people do for us. We need to be positive. Were you that way before? Did it take cancer to kind of wake you up to those realities that you live out each and every day now?
You know what, Eric? Unfortunately, yeah, it was cancer that, and losing, you know, my spouse, I went through a calamity of tragedies. I won't go into all of that, but I lost my spouse, my best friend, my son's godparents within 1 week of each other. Yes. It does take something sometimes like this in order for you to look up, because you don't have anywhere else to look up, because looking down is not an option anymore. So I won't say that's for everyone, but it was what I needed at that time in order for me to be able to see beyond my grief, to be able to raise my son with a positive attitude and not take hold of the attitude as poor as me, as I've lost all these people. I didn't have a choice. I had to get up. My son still needed to be fed. I needed to have something to do every day. Real estate became that different thing that I did every day that put me in contact with people and actions that made me happy. So I don't say that tragedy is something that everybody needs, but for me, this was my walk, and I did need this, because prior to that, I took advantage, if you will. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to, you know, do this tomorrow. I'm going to do that. I'm going to be able to, you know, keep going. And, you know, just like everybody else, you know, when we're very young as teenagers, we say, you know, hey, I'm going to own this. I'm going to be the president of the United States. I mean, we have these wonderful ideals that are unspoiled and untouched by anyone's negativity. And we believe in ourselves so strongly that even our parents are going, well, just keep living. You know, they keep telling us that, you just keep living, you know, that kind of thing. Well, I needed to have that resolve of a teenager. And unfortunately, I had to go through something to come out and do and be everything that I needed to be. It is where I am today. I'm not saying I'm the most successful. I'm not saying that I'm the most positive. I'm the person who's the luckiest. No, I'm the person that survived, and God kissed me and let me know that I'm still worth something here, right here today, and this is what I need to be doing to get to the place when my life is over, I can say, well done.
Wow. So
that's where I'm at right now, and it took all of those things, yes, in order for me to get there. Yeah. Absolutely.
Irie, what an incredible story, and what an incredible person you are. I am I'm honored to do this interview right now. I really am. You are touching me in so many ways. I'm trying to maintain my own composure as I conduct this interview because you are just stirring up emotions in me as I hear you speak, and how you acknowledge God and how he has just kept you, blessed you, kissed you, as you say, and made you feel that you have value, that you are worthy to just continue to be here and to do what you do, to be who you are. I can't imagine what people around you say to you, you know, when they have troubles and challenges. I'd be afraid to bring your problem.
That's cute. Well, you know what? Let me explain something to you. I'm still human. I still get, you know what? That's my testimony. I still go through tests every day. I'm just like everybody else. Right now, I know my colleagues are going through. I'm going through. We all are, because, you know, this is December, and most of us have gone through some really crazy, you know, last 3 or 4 months. Our inventory has shrunk. You know, our sellers, some of them have packed up, and they're no longer, you know, distributing assets to us. A lot of us are looking for ways to switch our business up. I mean, there's a lot of scrambling going on right now, and I know, because people are calling me, you know, and they're talking to me. And just like them, I'm going through it too. But the thing I know, absolutely know, is that if God didn't mean for me to be here, I wouldn't be here. He has not brought me this far, and my employees and everything else, for us to fail. We're going to make it. It may not be to the extent that we were doing it before, but no matter what it is, it's going to be enough for us to not only make it, but us to sustain our careers and do what we need to do. Sometimes we don't need too much or overabundance. Sometimes it's just enough. If we can just deal with just enough, then abundance will come. So when someone has a bad day and they call me, and I've had a few lately, and I've done a few. Matter of fact, I think Saturday or Sunday, I called one of my good friends in Atlanta, Georgia, Ms. Valencia Walker. I have to say that, because she's a praying woman. I love her to death. And I was crying. And I told her, I don't know about you, but it's tough. You know, I worry about my employees. I wonder, you know, I mean, I break down like everybody else. And I remember my load and my basket. But it takes another praying woman to pray for another woman to say to you, it's going to be okay. You didn't get here because you just put on your real estate suit, put your briefcase out there and said, give me a deal. God put you here. Are you willing to wait on God? And I had to go back to my loaves and say, yeah, I remember when I had nothing and God came in and opened the door for me and I walked through and abundance fell for me. I've got to remember those loaves. So anybody could call me and give me their story because you know what? 9 out of 10, I'm going to give them a story too, right back, but it's the one that's of today. It's the one that we're struggling with right now and it's the one that we're going to overcome with tomorrow.
Well, this is a great segue into your experience as a broker owner of your own company. You went through your period of training, if you will, and success as a lender and then as a mortgage broker working for Clarion. And then you transitioned back into real estate. And what was the catalyst to go back in? And what did you come back in as? A broker owner or as an agent? When did REO Diva, the REO Diva,
come about? Yeah.
Come about, yeah.
That's a name my colleagues gave me, actually. You know, it's not something I created, right? And so, it just kind of fell upon me. And you know what? I'm really, really grateful, happy, honored to carry it. I don't know what it means, but I do know that if anyone could be it, I could be. So I thank God for that. But no, when I came back into real estate, it was during the crash. And I know this is going to sound crazy, but I had been talking to my now ex-husband, David Murphy, and I had, you know, just kind of told him, I don't know what we're going to do and, you know, so forth, just like everybody else when the, you know, banks crashed and the whole thing. And I remember going through some really crazy times, and we were just blessed enough to have enough savings and everything to carry us through. And I said that I got to find out what's going on. Well, I went to sleep, and in the middle of my sleep, I was awakened. Literally, I was awakened. And said, you know what? You need to call Linda. If anybody knows me, they know my sissy Linda, Linda Jackson. And I called her, and I said, you know, sissy, I don't know what's going on. The market has fell. Where should we be, you know, concentrating? I'm going to say this in my best Linda impersonation. And she said, well, sissy, I heard about this conference going on in Texas, and it's called 5-Star, 5-Chapter, 5-something. But I think I want to go to it. That's what she said. And I went, so when is it? Told me when it was. So I went online and I booked my ticket right then, right there. I remember we prayed, we hung up, and said we'd meet each other at the airport. I mean, literally, this is how it went. We were walking by faith, and we were hoping that once we got to Texas, we could figure out what was going on in the market. We just wanted to know what was going on, you know. So packed up, went to Texas, got to Texas, and when I got to Texas, this was the second 5-star conference ever. I ran into an old friend who I had did business with in the 90s, and that friend grabbed my hand, and this chokes me up, I'm sorry, and told her assistant, this woman works really, really hard. Put her on. Put her on. And that was the beginning of what you see now. That's faith. I had no idea that going to Texas was going to change my life again for the better. And my first deal that I had closed thereafter, and I want you to understand how good God is, I didn't make a penny from June 2007 until January of 2008. Okay? My first deal that God gave me out the gate was a $60,000 commission. So every bill I couldn't pay for almost 6 months, God paid in full in January 2008. And I've never looked back.
What was that? He signed you up. This guy grabbed your hand. Who was this guy, by the way?
I can't tell you who it was, but do know that they're one of the biggest servicers of assets in the nation.
Oh, my goodness.
And they remembered me.
Wow. And so they signed you up to be an REO agent.
To be on their network and to be able to receive assets, yes, because of my work ethic that they knew of before. I am forever indebted to this person. I will continuously always work 150% for them. I owe them so much. Because of them, I have been able to raise my son. I've been able to keep a home. I've been able to help the homeless. I've been able to do a multitude of things and help other realtors down on their luck who need help. I've been able to do blessings beyond my own blessing. And I'm grateful. grateful. I'm just grateful. I mean, I don't even know how to say it other than I owe them to be the best agent, because today, because of them, my doors are still open.
Well, that's a great story, and what a blessing it is to have someone that is willing to advocate for you and set you up,
yes,
and to be able then to, you know, capitalize on that by, one, doing a great job. They're not impacted because of the recommendation they made. You know, I mean, that happens so often. Some people aren't willing to vouch for others because of that. There's an impact to them. And so this person took a chance on you, but he already had experience in working with you.
Right.
And as a result of that, was willing to make that recommendation.
I just won that chance that they had given me, you see. I mean, I knew when they grabbed my hand, I felt and saw for myself the conviction,
right,
that this person had for me. I mean, when you can see that somebody is trying to give you a chance, people, you know, as agents, we tend to be a little overzealous in ourselves sometimes. And we think that, you know, we're the best thing that God ever made, but we're not. You know, we're people. And as a result, we do human things. I'm so grateful that the first time around, when I was able to work for that organization, that they noticed my work first, you know, and that I was on it, and that I was so into my work that whatever I did impressed this person, because years, literally years later, and we're talking 7-8 years, that person still remembered me. That in and of itself is unheard of. You know, I'm still working with them today, and I tell you, when I tell you how loyal and how much I admire not only the organization but the people that they hire within there and their procedures and policies and so forth, I mean, it's been a wonderful relationship, and it has truly been the things that dreams are made of. I'm very, very blessed to have had that opportunity bestowed on me twice. Some people are just waiting for the first time. When we're out here doing these deals and we're running into people, it makes a difference, not how we treat them, but how we are. Every day, how are you? You know, not just at the conferences, are you really social and you sit down at the bar, you drink and all that stuff. What are you doing all the time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you speak to people all the time? How do you treat people all the time? Because I think had I not been decent back in the day, I would have never gotten the opportunity and thus would not have the relationship, the account, and the assets that I have today, and the blessing.
So let me ask you, have you missed a 5-star conference since then?
Have I met the what?
A 5-star conference since then.
You know, it's one of the conferences I will not miss. I will not miss that, because that's where I got my start all
right.
Over again. I will not. I may miss a multitude of other things, but I will not miss 5-star, truly. And you know, and I have to say that organization has done a lot for my career, a lot. I mean, I've gotten a few contracts sitting right there at that conference. And I know people say, but it's thousands of people there. How do you get? You know what? When you go to these conferences, I really believe that you need to be focused for new business. Most people are focused on socializing. You have to be focused on business.
So when you went to 5-star, you came back with that contract, and, you know, 6 months later, I can only imagine you were probably going broke and maybe even closing up shop, and then you close this transaction making $60,000 on one commission. And that was definitely a game changer for you. And then from that point on, you didn't look back, and you started to build this great team. Talk about your company today. What do you do? How many employees do you have? What kind of volume of business are you doing? And, you know, give us kind of like the history from the highs into the lows, which may be the present right now.
Right. Well, at present, I'm still with David Murphy, which we're still doing our partnership. I'm about to branch off into my own company. I'm about to go take my brokers. I've been so lazy working that I hadn't had the time. I'm now ready to go out and do what I do best and, you know, become a broker. And I already have my own shop, so it's just time to do. But when we first started, it was just myself and one other assistant that I had hired. When we first started, I think by the time I got back to L.A., and it was, I didn't get these assets from the person who handed me the blessing from my past. I actually acquired during that week about 8 accounts. When I came back from Texas, I had 8 accounts. And before I got back to California, I had 18 listings. Now, some people would not take on the listings I took because my listings were in Desert Hot Springs, Salton Sea, Palm Springs, and Indio.
These are one-hour commutes from where
they're
you are.
Three-hour commute.
Oh, okay.
And I took them on. I took them
wow.
on. Because when you have nothing, to have something is great. So I didn't care if I had to go out and spend the night in Palm Springs in order to look at all my properties twice a week. It was okay because I have properties. It's the way I looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
So I started that way. We started, you know, working in L.A., and all of our properties were more than 50 miles out, every single property, and I would be out there. And so we started selling those properties. That helped, and I had one assistant, and they worked hard, and, you know, I worked hard, and there were many nights I was up 24 hours. I also did unbelievable amounts of BPOs. And the next thing you know, I got another account, and I found myself coming inward into the city a little more. Now my properties were in Altaloma, Rancho Cucamonga, Pomona. It was nice. I was getting a little closer. So in that, I was willing to do whatever it took to get the accounts, to make sure that the people who were in charge of those accounts that gave those listings to me was very happy with my work. And there were some who absolutely didn't know what they were saying, didn't know what they were doing, but, you know, hey, that's kind of power for the course. And I did as much as I could to help them, educate them, to get them ready, you know, for this REO world, since I was a little more experienced, of course. You know, you want to help as much as you can so that, you know, you'll be on that preferred list. So I did everything I had to do in order to keep those accounts, to get those accounts, and to get more assets during that time. So that was early on. During the second year of the REO push, I hired bookkeeper and two more assistants, because at that point I probably was looking at the second year, I received about 220 properties. I went from 18 to 220. And I was literally the first 100 I was doing by myself. It was crazy. And I was stressed out and a little tired, but also happy. I was on a high. So that's when I started hiring people. And at the height of inventory, which was about 375 of assets, we only had seven people and two part-time
people.
Seven people, two part-time. Seven
managing 375 assets.
Three of us were agents, and we did all of the legwork. And we had two people administratively in the office, and we had inspectors too, and then we had, again, the bookkeeper, and then a overall person who actually filled in slots as needed if someone was out. And that was the dynamic team, because we were capable and able to handle all of those assets without fail. It was a great fit. And we've remained pretty much the same crew until this year. And so this year, unfortunately, we had 161 units. We did about $62 million, and it's a little slow for us. And of those 161 units that we've had, literally, I'm going to say about 70 of them have been held up for so many different reasons. Most of them are occupied, and they have attorneys. And so, you know, we've had some of these assets 2 and 3 years because we just cannot move them as quickly. So it's a little different right now. I think we're going through a time in which we've never seen in real estate, especially during my tenure. But nevertheless, it's still a great time. We're learning more. We're learning about compassion. We're learning how valuable we are to our community. We're learning how we can help people in many different other ways, not just selling. Some people need, you know, they can't afford their homes, but they can afford to rent them out. And we're helping them in that way. So, you know, there's just a lot of things that we're doing in our community right now that's helping us, as you know, as realtors, learn how to move assets in different ways and how creative we can be with our homeowners, because eventually they will need us and we want to be there.
Ivory, we're going to take a break and come back and talk about maybe some of the tactics and strategies you have for your success. And I think that there are many agents listening right now that are saying, well, I wish I had 160-something units right now, assets, even if 70 of them were occupied. What are you doing to stay in the game? And are you looking to diversify? We want to explore that as well. But what are you doing to stay in the game right now? What are some of your tactics and strategies? And so, folks, we're going to touch on this when we come back right after this commercial break. We'll be right back.
Hey,
everybody. This is Eric Frazier. I just want to take a minute to tell you about the great things that are happening on The Power Is Now. Did you know that The Power Is Now has programming that takes place every single day? That's right. Every single day, there's a show playing on The Power Is Now. And not just one show, but shows throughout the day, every single day. There's an 8 o'clock show and a 10 o'clock show. There's a 12 o'clock show, a 3 o'clock and a 5 o'clock show. We even have a 7 o'clock show every single day, folks. You can catch some great information right here on The Power Is Now. Just go to thepowerisnow.com and click under Live Show. You'll see whatever's playing at that time, you'll hear it right there on The Power Is Now. Whatever is playing throughout the day will be on the live show. And if there's a particular show you want to listen to, just go to the past shows or to the Power Agent Spotlight or the Real Estate Resource or The Power Is Now Breaking News. Folks, The Power Is Now is just jam-packed with great information for real estate professionals and consumers. And I want to encourage you to tune in every day and listen to all the shows. There are over 160 shows that have been recorded on The Power Is Now, all about real estate, empowering real estate agents with information, empowering consumers with information, information that is relevant, information that is current, information that they can use. The Power Is Now. Remember, we are at our best and we maximize our success when we act now. That's what The Power Is Now is all about. And that's why we have this information playing every single day on The Power Is Now radio. Please go to thepowerisnow.com and like on us. In fact, go to LinkedIn and connect with me, Eric Frazier, and The Power Is Now. We're also on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. We're all over the social media. And of course, on Facebook, you can even listen to our podcast on Facebook, because we make sure that we notify those of you who are following us on Facebook every week with the upcoming shows. Well, that's it for now. We hope you'll continue to listen to The Power Is Now and tell others about it. Thank you for listening today on The Power Is Now. And we're back. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, or perhaps you've just been listening to this show and didn't really know what was going on, well, this is the Power Agent Spotlight with Ivory Summers. And man, oh man, did we find a power agent to interview. Folks, this interview has been absolutely fascinating. I have been moved to laughter and to tears. And you know, that always makes for a great movie or play when someone can make you cry and make you laugh. And Ivory has done all of that in this interview so far. Well, we've been at this for just about an hour now, and my poor VIP co-hosts who have been hanging in there just waiting for their chance to ask a question, we're going to bring them in now before we go any further. And first up is Lynetta Cornelius calling in from San Ramon, California. Welcome, Lynetta, again to the Power Agent Spotlight. Hasn't this been an incredible call?
Oh, amazing. So very amazing, Eric. I'm telling you, this has been the most, I don't normally like roller coasters, but this has been a lovely roller coaster ride for me this afternoon. I have been, just as you said, taken from tears to laughter to everything in between, and it's just been amazing what Ivory has brought to this call today. And I'm still kind of...
Thank you.
Still kind of reeling from it. You know, roller coaster rides, you still feel it at the end. I'm still there. But what I do have a question for you, Ivory, and that is, you gave some wonderful advice to agents out there that have thought about leaving the industry. It's something that a lot of us are contemplating right now because things are so very tight. You tell them to hold on. And those words are real powerful. They're very powerful right now. When you spoke to them, you said, just a few more months, just hold on. Can you speak to that just a little bit more? And speaking to the agents who are listening.
Well, I just want everyone to know that it's tough for all of us right now. I mean, I couldn't even explain to you how tough it's been. And I know it's tough because I've experienced it myself. I'm not out here saying that, you know, the REO diva doesn't go through the same experiences as any other agent. No, I do too. And I have a staff and I worry about them as well, just like everyone else. But this too shall pass. You see, sometimes when we're going through these epiphanies, if you will, it's to show us we need to be, better time managers, or we need to be better money managers or something like that. But this is something that is totally out of our control. And what I mean by that is that the government is involved And it's involved for a reason, because we don't need everyone to lose their home. It would be a shame if every person out there right now that owned a home was in trouble. As agents, we could not and would not know how to handle it. But it's the opposite that's happening right now. Our country is trying to pick up from the greatest recession ever. We are now living in a moment and a time and we've never been prepared for. Real estate has always been hard. It has always been a field in which we've not received a raise since the beginning. But we've always been able to trudge on and, you know, be able to raise our family and our children and support our employees and so forth. And I want people to remember that part. The strength that they have as agents and brokers out there, that you've made it through some gigantic obstacles in your life. And if you could just hold on just a month, maybe two, things, they're going to change. I'm not a predictor of the future, but I know what I've been told. I know what I have experienced. I know what I feel in my soul. And if we just hold on, some of us are going to have it better than we had it before. We just don't think it is, because it's everybody, the media, all the pundits will tell you, oh, it's just doomed. But it's not. We're doing an evolution, if you will. And in that, sometimes change brings about some, you know, not so great things in the beginning. But in the end, I think if we do the right things, service our accounts right, you know, uphold our clients and give them the service that they want, we'll probably see an extra 10 properties come through the email one day. You know, if we just hold on. And I just want everyone to know that you're not at the end of your rope. You're just at the end of what is right now a roller coaster. And once it's
absolutely
over, we'll be able to make it.
Thank you so much for your response. And thank you for sharing your story, a wonderful
you're
story.
You're really welcome.
Thank you.
You know, I'm just not any different than anybody else. It's just, you know, I think I've gotten a better way of, you know, just kind of dealing with some of these things, because I have been at the bottom of the barrel. I have, you know, had to wait for money for 6 months. You know, we've gone through some things. It's just kind of power for the course. When it's all great, we don't complain. Now that there's it's just a little rough, let's not complain. Let's pray about it, and or let's put some good thoughts out there. Whatever it is that people feel comfortable with. I am a very spiritual person. Some people are just very positive. Whatever it is that works for you, pull on it right now. Utilize it. Believe in it, and just walk with it, because things are going to change.
Absolutely. Thank you again. Thank you again.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Now, Lynetta, I've had you on hold all this time. Don't tell me you just had one question. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your business in San Ramon, California.
Yes, I'm a broker at Lynetta Cornelius Real Estate in San Ramon. I've been in the business for 10 years. I've been doing strictly REO for the last 5 years, and I've got a similar walk to Ivory's in that I came from a paralegal background. I actually went into the paralegal field, and I'd been in that field for 22 years. My goal was always to be a lawyer. I had always wanted to be a lawyer. My first year of law school, after 22 years of being a paralegal, I said no. 1 year of law school made me say, no, this is it. I'm at the end of my rope with law. And that's when I moved into real estate. So I can totally relate to the story from being a paralegal. It's such a wonderful transition, because you are utilizing what you learned as a paralegal, and a lot of the skills that were used there very readily transferred.
Right.
And so I think that's a wonderful parallel between Ivy's life as where I've been. And with regards to REOs at this moment, it is very slow. And I could ask another question here going along the lines of there's still a lot of agents that want to get into being an REO broker, an REO agent. It's still hot. No matter how they say the short sales are what's happening now, people are still wanting that REO, all those REOs and those assets. Ira, if you could tell someone who's listening right now the steps, if any, if there are any steps that they could take at this moment to position themselves, what would you tell them?
Well, if they were signing up today, I would tell them the first step is go to REO Network. That's the first step.
I would agree, because
they are godsends. They are godsends, because they get your name out there, especially if you get the premium package. I know most people say, well, I can't afford to do that. You cannot not afford. Not if you want to be in REO. So that's the first step, I would say. And the second step is to make sure you have the tools of the trade ready to work. And that means to have I have a toolbox in my car, and I keep it in my trunk, and it has flashlights and trash bags and paper towels, and, you know, rulers and strings and lockboxes and all the stuff.
Yes.
You know, you got to be prepared for the job. If you're going to say that you want to be an REO agent, then you need to walk like an REO agent.
Absolutely.
And you need to be prepared for this field. This is not a field that you get up one day and you say, oh, I'm going to be an agent.
Yes, and there is a distinct walk in an REO agent.
That's exactly right.
Very distinct.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, you
thank
just,
you.
Yeah, you know, they have to be prepared to, one, mm-hmm. put in the time, because in order for you to be an REO agent and sign up with REO Network, you need to be perfectly capable and ready to do BPOs.
Yes.
You need to. And the second thing is, you need to be on every website of any servicer that has REO assets and finding out what they have on the market, and then you need to sell them. You need to sell them. Before you get
great
list,
advice.
You need to sell.
Yes.
Because they'll only notice you if you keep bringing them clients. If you can't get
absolutely.
In the traditional way, and I don't even suggest that at this point because we're in a different market now, they need to be a producer
right.
with buyers. And then what you need to do is you need to find out who is the manager of the asset management company you want to work for that you've been selling their property. And you want to put a letter out to them, and you want to put in your resume, and you want to show them all the sales that you've made, not only for them, but for everyone. But you want to outline the sales that you've done for them. It's a total different angle, but it works.
Absolutely.
And you want to send that package.
I think that is absolute great advice. A lot of agents out there would not think that selling a mere property that belonged to a particular asset manager and they steadily see their name as bringing in the buyer, that really makes a difference. So I definitely appreciate that advice.
Yes.
That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I just think that we have to be a little different sometimes.
Yes, absolutely.
Lynetta, that is a great question, and I agree with you. Great advice from the REO diva, Ivory Summers. Ivory, a couple of things just to follow up with Lynetta's question. One, REO Network, Wendy Kiefer, I believe, has been on the Powers Now. In fact, I think it was a year, maybe 2 years ago, they were on the show. In fact, folks, you can look in the show archives on the Powers Now. You'll find that interview in which Wendy talks about the value proposition of REO Network. What does the premium package cost, and what are you getting with that?
I can't remember every little organization that I belong to, but that one I know I think is around $1,200 a year, I do believe, somewhere.
Okay.
Anywhere between $12,000 and $2,000 a year. And they send you Clear Capital BPOs. So, I mean, my first year doing BPOs, I certainly made a whole lot more than $2,000. So it paid for the membership. They continued to send me out BPOs because it was something, BPOs is something I've always been good at. I figured, you know what, I'll go in through that way, as everybody else did. You know, we'll go in through the BPO way because that was the only way to do it at that time. It's still the best way to go in, get yourself out there. But being on REO Network, because everybody who's anyone looks on there, I mean, you can't really lose if you have yourself on there and you're new in the business. It's a great way of being recognized. It's a great way of learning this field, and it's certainly an absolute great way in order to get in contact with the servicer by doing BPOs.
If I may add to that, that's a very good thing that brokers and agents, a lot of them do tend to shy away from doing BPOs because they think it's a waste of time and they're not getting paid what they used to, because there used to be a time where you could get $100 per BPO. Now they've reduced down to 40, some even 35. So it's not that popular anymore doing BPOs. But what agents fail to understand is that that's their calling card. And usually it's their calling card to that listing. It's really good to open up to doing more of those. And I think you made a good point that BPO work is very important.
It's extremely important.
Foot in the door.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's how you get your foot in the door.
Absolutely.
You know, that's how you get your work ethic out there, because you know what?
Yes.
It's a hard timeline for that BPO.
Right.
You know,
right.
You got to get in that property. You got to give them description. And I tell anyone does BPOs, if your BPOs cannot be read by Stevie Wonder, then you're not doing a good job. And, you know, I know that sounds funny, but Stevie Wonder could read my BPOs, and he could see each room because they're descriptive.
Wow.
You must
That's great.
Be the
That's
eyes
great.
And ears for your seller. They are reading about a property. We are physically walking through the property. So you need to give them a complete description of what you're seeing so that they can see it.
It sounds like we need to do a show on BPOs with you, Ivory.
Now, there are some great BPO experts out there, but believe me, I learned from them.
Yes. Very welcome. Thank you. Thank you both.
Well, we certainly are going to have the REO Network back on the Polaris now. For those of you who are interested in learning more about that organization and what they can do to help you as an REO broker or agent to get more exposure and opportunities. Next up is Brianna Fraser Cannon, broker and principal for the Fraser Group Realty in Riverside, California. Thank you, Brianna, for being on the call today. Folks, she is my daughter, so, you know, I love calling on her and taking up all of her time.
Yes, thank you very much. And you can't say no to your dad, especially when you're on the radio. So I am here happily, though, to be on the call with Miss Ivory Summers. And I would first just like to tell you, you are a phenomenal woman, and I thank you for your words of wisdom. I've taken notes, and, you know, this has not only been a call about real estate, but it's also been a call about life as well. And I've been encouraged by you as a woman that all things are possible and that we are able. So I have one question, and it's only one question because I've been like a sponge listening. Just soaking it all in. But my question goes along the lines of family. You know, as a woman, I often think of, I don't have children yet, but I plan to have children in the future. And I always wonder, you know, how do you get that key to balancing family life and work life? You know, you have to be a go-getter, work long hours, and always be available in real estate. You do have a freedom, but at the same time, you're always working. And I'm curious for you, Ms. Summers, how you're able to balance the two together successfully.
Well, Brianna, thank you for that question, but let me give you a great and honest answer. And when I mean great, I mean, I'm not talking about great in its substance. I'm just, oh my God, as a woman, we try to do so much. And I put on my cape every day, but I fall short. You know? But the one thing I never wanted to fall short on is being a mom. It is the one thing I always wanted to be. Real estate, don't get me wrong, is my blessing. And it's my source in which I am able to facilitate a lot of things towards my family. But if there's anything I want to be known for in my life, I want to be known as a great mom. So my son, Matthew, I have two children. My daughter, Brandy Summers, is my Barbie, and my son, Matthew, is my Ken. And I've always referred to my babies as such. And they're both adults now, but they're still my babies. And Matthew literally is a real estate baby. He was born into real estate, had to come to work with mommy the first 3 years of his life on my back. I had a little pouch and, you know, you put that little pouch on, you stick the baby in. Well, that was Matthew. And then when he got too big for that, he was in a portable bassinet. So my children have very much been not only the inspiration for my work, but my inspiration to continue to work, because the freedom that I received as an agent, I couldn't get it anywhere else. Saying that, it has been quite difficult to be a super producer, a mother, a provider, and just a woman in general, because this is a very hard field. But each day, each situation, I took it and dealt with it. But when I got finished with real estate at the end of the day, if that was at 8 o'clock at night, then there would be no more real estate that day until the next morning in which I woke up. I'm a firm believer that when you have to work, you work those hours that you need to work, and you work them hard, and you give them everything you got. But when it goes home, it's time to go home. Real estate has no place in my home. And I say that because my kids are so interesting. And they need a mommy who's listening to them, not worried about or concentrating on the last deal. So I made real estate very important to me from the hours of 6 to, you know, 7 at night. And from 7 to, you know, 11, it's my family. It's all about my family. I am really, really great at going on vacation and not looking back at real estate, because I put the proper people. I have a wonderful staff, dedicated staff. I have Willie, who has been with me, you know, 7 years or so. I've had, you know, my bookkeeper, Sylvia, my inspectors, Vince, and, you know, and my closers, Jasmine. I've had these people, and David Murphy. I have the best people possible working for me, and understanding that when I'm in there, I'm in it to win it. But when I'm not in office and I'm not performing business, she definitely taking her time down. And they know how to handle everything. And if they don't, they call me. I answer it, and then I'm done. But you've got to know the times in which you're going to work. You've got to know the seasons in which, you know, you're going to fight, you know, just like anything else. Real estate can consume you and could cost you a lot. You don't want to be the super agent because it just doesn't work as a woman. What you want to be is a great agent who does great things, and she's also equally successful in her personal life. Because when real estate isn't all that great, or it doesn't fulfill your everything, the money, the commission, the meeting the people, you know, doing million-dollar homes and all that, the only people you have to anchor you at the end of the day and who love you no matter what, whether you make a dollar or not, is your family. So make sure that you keep your priorities straight. But as a woman, you can do it. You just have to prioritize and make sure that you stay sensible in how you deal with this field.
Well, I think that's about the best
I can give you, Brianna. You're young. You're going to be out there, you know, healthy and beautiful. And this field is just right for someone like you. But you've got to know that as a woman, too, the opportunities afforded to be a wife and to be a mother, these are only once-in-a-lifetime types of opportunities, and you need to enjoy it. Real estate will always be there.
Thank you very much. I think that was an awesome answer, and appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for asking.
Ivory, you are so full of wisdom. I don't want to end this show, but folks, we are way past our normal time for the Power Agent Spotlight, and I'm sure you understand why. And so this is part one of a two-part series with Ivory Summers on the Power Agent Spotlight. I want to thank everyone for joining us today, and my special co-hosts, Brianna Frazier and Lynetta Cornelius, for assisting me today in interviewing Ivory on part one. I'm not sure if they're going to be with us on part two, but we're going to have a part two with Ivory Summers talking about her career in real estate, and we're going to dive into the brass tacks of the business, her tactics and strategies for success, and she shared some things with you already in answering Lynetta's question about what should anyone interested in getting into the REO business do. Well, we want to find out now, what exactly is she doing in her business to stay in business, as many agents are looking for alternatives and strategies to succeed in this very dynamic market? We're also going to talk about her production results a little bit further and then really get into the plans for the future, because I'm sure we all are making plans right now for 2013. Some have completed their plans and they're ready to start executing on their plans in January of 2013. And so we want to hear what Ivory's plans are for the future. So all that's on part two of the Power Agent Spotlight. Remember, we are at our best and we maximize our success when we act now. What have you learned today that you can act on today? On The Power Is Now. I also want you to know that The Power Is Now is a team. And without the team, it would not be possible to put on this show each and every week. I want to thank Deidre Davey, who is a relationship manager for The Power Is Now. She helps me book all these shows with these wonderful guests, and I appreciate her and all that she does for The Power Is Now. Also, Sadiq Royal, he's the guy who designs these flyers that go out. Aren't those flyers great? Have all the information about the show each and every week. And then we have Slavi Paykoff. He's our sound engineer who fixes all the mistakes that you don't hear. I really appreciate Slavi, our sound engineer for The Power Is Now. And then Jacob Navis, he actually built our website. And we have Goldie Ponce, who actually manages it and updates the website each and every week with the show page and the information. So there's a lot involved here on The Power Is Now. And, of course, too, I also have my stand-in co-host, Brianna Frazier, who's acting as the VIP co-host today. She actually stands in for me from time to time, and Erica Frazier. So it was a team effort on The Power Is Now, and I tell you, you're only as good as your team, and I appreciate them each and every week for what they do to make this show possible. Folks, tune in just a few minutes for the next show on The Power Is Now, and look out for part two with Ivory Summers, and look out for part two on The Power Is Now Power Agent Spotlight with Ivory Summers. Have an awesome day today. We'll talk to you soon.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.